How many are ready to receive if what I have to say is tough? Here's my question. How many are ready to examine your life? Okay, good. Here, let me try that again. How many are ready to examine your life? Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, which I say this sincerely. If you didn't hear the message Wednesday, Pastor Vegas preached, please, really, do yourself a favor and go and listen to it. If you've heard it, listen to it again. She's really talking about endurance and what an encouraging message it was to us. Let's turn in two places in your Bible. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll go there in a minute. Put your finger there or a ribbon or whatever you have. And then turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I'll read verses 10 through 13. And I want to read the passage in Peter first, as 2 Peter 3, starting with verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come. How many know Jesus Christ is going to come back? I can't tell you when, but I can tell you, as sure as we're out here in the shade, Jesus Christ is going to come. More sure than that. Will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved. How many know we better be ready for that dissolving? How many know your house is going to dissolve? Come on, somebody say amen. How many know your Ferrari is going to dissolve? Hallelujah. I mean, that wasn't what I was going to say, but that's... how many know your Keurig machine is going to dissolve? I mean, everything is going to be dissolved. Because of that, watch this. What manner of person ought you to be in what kind of conduct? Holy. Somebody say holy conduct. Holy. Come on, somebody say holy conduct. Holy. Everybody say holy conduct. Holy. And godliness. Looking for the hastening and the coming of the day of God, because which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. God is saying all this is going to be done away with. So I want to make sure your behavior, somebody say your behavior, that you walk in holiness and godliness. Holiness and godliness. Let me tell you why I'm preaching this sermon today. I was Wednesday morning, I meet with some pastors in Pico Rivera and the captain of the sheriffs at the city hall, and we pray. Well, we were praying, and one of the pastors prayed this prayer. And as he prayed this prayer, it just started to bubble up in my spirit. And he said this, he said, God, help all the people who have allowed sin and weights to easily beset them. And as he said that, I thought to myself, that struck me, that these sins and the weights, watch this, the Bible says, aren't besetting us, they're easily besetting us. And I started to think and imagine, where would we be as a church, as individuals in the church, if we would lay down these weights and lay down these things, I'm going to talk about these things, what they are, in a minute. But if we'd lay down these things, and if we'd really lay it down, here's what would happen. You would start to soar like you had never soared before. You would start to run like you've never run before. You would start to accomplish things in the kingdom of God that you never thought possible, but it is possible. And the watch this, and the only thing that is holding you back is some sin and some things that you need to get rid of in your life. And as soon as you lay those down, you know what? One time my wife, you know what? I worked the night crew at Albertsons. How many know I worked at Albertsons for a while? Okay. I worked for Lucky's before that. Did you know that? Yes. You know what? Lucky's was the low price leader. Did you know that? And you know what? It made me so mad. I put a big tattoo on my chest. Lucky's the low price leader. And then they sold it to Albertsons. And I had to, it's very painful to take it off. Okay. I'm just joking. Yeah. So, but here's my point. What was my point? Oh, yeah, here's my point. But my lovely wife was so gracious. One day she talked to the manager. I didn't know this. And I was working night crew. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, guess who shows up? Were you my bride there or just, you were just my princess? So, my fiance came and rescued me from Albertsons, and she says, I'm taking you somewhere. 2 o'clock in the morning, where are we going? You know what I mean? I know we're not going to a nightclub, thank you, Jesus. It's like, where are we going? You know what I mean? So, you know what? So we go out to Temecula, and there's these guys out there with this big basket. It's a hot air balloon. But can I tell you about a hot air balloon? Yeah. It is a basket. It's a real basket. And you put your feet, you get into the basket. And then they got this torch in the middle, this kind of, and they start, and they torch it up, and then it's so loud. And it's just heating this thing up. And then they do the craziest thing. Then they have these weights, and they take these weights, and they lay them aside. And as they lay them aside, guess where we go? Up, up and away. Balloon. Can I tell you what? Listen to me, church. As that pastor was praying, I got a revelation knowledge that we could soar and fly if we would just be willing. Who can? Tony can. George can. Joanne can. And I'm not saying that these three aren't flying now. Here's what I'm saying. What I said to you at the beginning, that all this is going to be done away with. God says, prepare your hearts. God says, I want you to live in holiness and godliness. As I'm studying this out, and it's interesting to me, how many have been with me at 10 o'clock, you know what, for our reading of the scriptures? I'm telling you what, if you're doing nothing at 10 o'clock, you know what, tune in and let's read the word together. If you're doing something at 10 o'clock, stop doing it and tune in and allow your pastor to read with you the infallible word of God. Amen. It's a powerful, powerful thing that's taking place. I mean, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit just show. I mean, me and Joel and Josh are just get our socks blessed off. Because the Holy Spirit will just speak things to us. Well, here's what I've noticed as we started, you know what? And we started, you know, somebody helped me out. I think we went through Romans. And then we went through 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Then we went through Galatians and Ephesians. And Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Then we went through 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Now we're in Hebrew. And one thing is striking. There's a lot of things that is coming out. But one thing is striking out more than anything else that I notice, and here's what it is. God's calling us to holiness. God's calling us to righteousness. God's calling us to godliness. And watch this. And I know this is going to mess up some of your theology. Let me tell you what. The Word of God is better than what you think. The Word of God is truer than what you've been taught. And we've been taught so much garbage. Let me just tell you what. It's interesting to me as I read the Word of God in these, and I read it with you, and it is in every single book. And here's what it is. Not only a call to holiness and a call to godliness, but a reality. I'm going to show it to you if you don't believe me. A reality that if we don't step up to the plate, I'm telling you, it's gonna rock your boat, but I'm going to show it to you in the Word. You ain't going to get better theology than the Word. Amen. And this isn't in one place. This is over and over and over that we can fall short of the grace of God. Tony, I'm going to say it because that's what the Bible says, say it. Amen. I can say anything that the Bible says. Amen. And listen, look at me, Tony. This isn't a negative thing. It's to protect us because, look at me, Tony, because if we don't get this right, where are we going to be? I don't want somebody to tell me that the plane, you know, only has a half tank of gas when I'm in the air. Amen? Right? And what's striking to me is that as I listen to, and I listen to a lot of preaching, is that as I read the Word of God, watch it, follow me. As I read the Word of God, I see this call to holiness, call to holiness, call to holiness, call to godliness, call to give up these things that we hang on to. But when I listen to the preaching of the Word, I don't hear that very much. I don't hear very much about the judgment of God, that he's coming back to judge the righteous and the unrighteous. I don't hear that. And I certainly don't hear almost anything of what's taught in the Word of God, that we can fall short of the grace of God. So, Pastor, are you ripping on all these other ministries? Kinda, but what I recognize as I'm reading through the New Testament, that could be said of us. When I say us, I don't mean us. I mean this ministry. See, who's in charge of this ministry? God is. Yeah, hallelujah. But you know what? But I'm the senior pastor. And so today, I want to show you some things in the Word of God that are so clear and so true. And I hope you have your Bibles with you, because I want you to see it. We'll show you on the screens too. But I want to see you how predominant this is. Are you learning something already? Okay. So let's go to, let's look at Peter's first. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Look what it says. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that has brought you to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now look at this. As obedient children, somebody say, as obedient children.
Obedient children.
Not conforming yourself to your former lusts. Do you see the calling?
Yeah.
The call is to holiness. The call is to godliness, not conforming yourself to the former lust as in your ignorance. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, you're not ignorant no more. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy. Come on, say it with me. Read with me. In your what? Yeah, go back, guys. It doesn't say in your conduct, does it? It says in what? Be holy in all your conduct.
Amen.
Wow, when was the last time you heard a sermon telling you to be holy in all your conduct. Listen, that is part of the Word of God. You'll see it over and over and over and over again. And let me tell you why. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but let me tell you why. Here's why. Because God knows you could soar if you just lay that junk aside. You could soar, and I could soar if we, when we just lay those things aside. My sermon title is Lay Down the Mess and Soar. Lay down the mess and soar. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Look at it, verse 1. This is all throughout the Bible, all throughout the New and the Old Testament. Romans chapter 6. You guys got that? Okay. Romans 6, chapter 1. Look what it says. 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? In other words, grace is God's favor on you to do what you can't do by yourself. That's by grace you are saved. So there was these people thinking, whoa, we're Christians. We're saved by grace. Hallelujah. So the more we sin, the more it will show the goodness of God. Woo! Look what his response is. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? See, the calling is we shouldn't live to sin anymore. Or do you not know? Oh, I love this part. Or do you not? This needs to be preached at Hope Community Church today. Or do you not know that as many, watch this, of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. How many were baptized into Jesus Christ? Raise your hand if you're baptized into Jesus. If you're saved, you're baptized in Jesus Christ. Okay? You were baptized into his death. What does that mean? That means you died. All that smoke potting, lying, jiving, conniving, ooh, baby, that's all dead, Jackson. Amen? That stealing, moving, grooving, all that junk that you used to, that is dead. That person died. Watch this. Or do you not know, back, or do you not know that as many as you were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Watch this. Therefore, we were buried in him through baptized into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we walk in the what? In the newness of life. What's that? Holiness. Godliness. Righteousness. He who stole, steal no longer. But work with your hands that you might be able to give. Amen. Let the lying tongue be far from us. Amen. Don't be caught up with bitterness. We'll see that in a minute. Unforgiveness. No. That's how we used to act. That's not how we act anymore. Somebody say, in all our conduct. Come on, wrap it with me. In all our conduct. In all our conduct. Two things we are told to get rid of. Sin and weight. Somebody say sin and weight. Okay. I'm going to talk about sin first, then I'm going to talk about weight. You said, what's a weight? Oh, we're going to get there. You're going to find out what a weight is. Okay. But notice this first. Go flip on back over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Notice this. In Hebrews chapter 12, I want you to notice who is supposed to do this? Look, Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such great witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Who's supposed to lay this stuff down? Somebody say, let us. Let us. See, we want to give so much responsibility to God as far as why we're not soaring. I don't understand why. Whoa. Here's a thought. Why don't you lay down some weights and sin that is going to hold you down? Because once you lay that, listen, when we were in that basket, once we laid down the weights, I mean, hang on, baby. I hope this is a good basket because you know what? I'm looking at my future wife. I'm thinking, what in the world is she? I freak out on heights. You know what I mean? I freak out on heights. I think God was gracious that day, and he made it overcast. So we, you know, but I tell you what, it was beautiful. It was. I love outside, and outside up there was amazing. Here's my point. My point is that we have to recognize that God is speaking to us and saying, here's what I want you to know. You're going to soar. You're going to run faster than you ever ran before. You're going to accomplish more than you ever accomplished before. But in order to do that, you have to lay those things aside. Because I can't do that for you. You have to do that. Now listen to this, because this is really you need to hear. We are told this because, all caps, we are able to do this. There's so much ignorant, false, bad, Paul calls it doctrines of demons. There's so much false doctrine going out in the body of Christ that you have your flesh and you have your spirit, but we talk so much about your flesh, the old nature, you don't want, read your Bible. God is calling you to holy conduct. God doesn't tell you, God doesn't say, I've called you to do this. I've called you to walk in holiness. I've called you in your behavior to be holy. I've said in my word, you be holy because I am holy. But everybody knows you can't do it anyway. See, you won't find that in the Bible. You'll find that in the pastor's narrations. And of your friends' narrations and all this. You know, the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Stop giving devil the place. You know, well, you know what? Everybody, you know, all the guys are doing it. All the girls are doing it. We all, you know, everybody. Hey. Where do you, you know what? Stop speaking a bunch of, stop saying what Satan is saying. God says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Satan says, no, you can't ever walk in that holiness. Amen. And as a man perceives, so he is. That's what the Bible says. And so there's this expectation. There's this, you know what it is? It's what the Bible says you're free of. It's a sin consciousness. And there's an expectation. I believe, you know what, for a great extent, we have absolutely ruined generations. As far as, you know what, we have expected that they are just, that they can't live in a godly, holy manner sexually. And you ain't going to find us saying that at this church. Why? Because we don't see that that's what God has called you to do. If God has called you to do it, then God has empowered you to do it. Amen. Oh, yeah, right. You have the Holy Spirit in you, but you can't conquer lust. That's a lie from the pit of hell is what it is. To whom which God tells you you are to do it, he will empower you to get it done. Amen. It's absolutely true. So first you have to get rid of this wrong thinking that says, well, you know what, just this expectation that, you know, listen, I've heard pastors preach that everyone has to sin every day. Oh, that is a common belief in the body of Christ. Raise your hands if you have heard that. Raise your hands if you heard people say, well, everybody, you know what? How many of you heard pastors declare that they sin hundreds of times? And we hear that stuff, and we go, and what you know what we say? Yeah, me too. No. The first thing you have to understand, God isn't some wacko God. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm going to tell you to do this, but you can't. That's ridiculous. I'm going to empower you with the Holy Spirit. What do you think what kind of spirit is inside you? Come on, this is deep. The Holy Spirit. And God says, you know what? I'm holy, and I'm calling you to be holy. Hallelujah. So first we have to understand, God never instructs us to do something that we are not able to do. He never will instruct. He's never going to say, you know, those who steal no more. But everybody got to steal a little bit. It didn't even make any sense. You know what? You know, those of you who, you know what, lie, but, you know, everybody tells, lies sometimes. You know what? You need to get rid of that thought, because that's a lying thought from the pit of hell. How many would raise their hand? I'm just asking. How many would raise their hand and say, I've got, Pastor, I got some issues in my life. I got some sin. I got some weights in my life. How many would be bold enough to raise your hand and tell, well, I'm going to be bold enough to tell you, my hand's up to you. I'm going to be bold enough to tell you, you know what? And the Holy Spirit lives inside you.
Come on.
So today is the day that we can walk in a newness, and you're never going to walk in that newness until you understand your ability to walk in that newness. And to think that God is going to tell you to do something and then not empower you, it's just cruel. And it's not even true. It's craziness. It's craziness. But you know what? In our ignorance, that's what I'm telling you. You know what? We're reading. We read Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and 1st and 2nd Timothy. Oh, he's telling Timothy all the time, hey, be holy, Timothy. Hey, you got this. Amen. And Titus and Philemon. And he's telling us over and over again, be holy. And we don't need to walk around and say, oh, yeah, we know what the Word of God says, but I can't do that. No, stop it. If you see it in the Word of God, why do you think he's saying to you, you know what? Lay aside every sin. Because let me tell you what, there's this stuff that's entangling you. It's holding you down. And if you'll get rid of it, you're going to soar like you never have soared before. You're going to live a victorious life. Other people are going to see you. Listen, you are going to be like Paul, and you'll be able to say, hey, follow me like I'm a follower of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Look at Romans chapter 6. Look what it says. Or let's go to, where do I want to go? Let's start in 12. Therefore, rather, we are debtors, not to the flesh. Who are you? You're not indebted to the flesh. Watch this. To live according to the flesh. Verse 13. For we live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, we will die. Listen, there are Christians that are dying. They're not living. They're not soaring. Yeah, they're breathing, but that dream that God has given them, they're never fulfilling. And they cry out to God and say, God, I don't understand. What is the problem? What is the problem? And God says, Wait a minute. You have become a debtor to your old life, and now we're not debtors to that. We're not debtors to that. Do you see it? Look at verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death, who puts to death? Say, I do. If you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What's that talking about? It's talking about this sozo life. It's talking about this soaring life. It's talking about this abundant life. And there's only one person keeping you from that abundant life. you and me. Verse 14. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Spirit is leading you. Say, hey, man, don't go that way. Go this way. This is the path to green grass and to cool waters. I've got a good life for you, but you can't go that way. By the Spirit, I'm leading you this way. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of a bondage by whom you can cry out, watch this, Abba, Dad, man. You got such a relationship with God that you can call him Daddy. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, that was Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 15. But go to Romans 6, chapter 13. Do not present your members as instrument of unrighteousness. Do you see how this is all over the Word of God? Who is not to present your members of instruments of unrighteousness? You know what your members are? You know what your members are? Your members are your eyes, your mouth. How many know your eyes can get you in trouble? Okay. How many know your mouth can get you in trouble? Come on. How many know there's other parts that can get you in trouble? Come on, don't shout. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know what? Our body has parts, and we need to present these parts not to unrighteousness, but to righteousness. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself, everything, to God as being alive from the dead. Remember? Man, that old nature's dead. Hallelujah. Look at verse 15. What then shall we sin because we are under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Here's what I want to get. Look at verse 16. Or do you not know to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether to sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. Let me park there for a while. Listen, guys, if you guys in this section want to walk in righteousness and a newness of life, if you want to soar, you can do it today. How do you do it? You know what? Don't become a slave to your flesh. Pastor, how do you do this? This is deep. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Say no. I'm not going to do that. And then don't do it. That's your sermon? That's my sermon. Don't you know? Don't you get it? Hey, guys, we are empowered, the Bible says. We can become slaves to whoever we want to become slaves to. Come on, come on. If you want to forgive everyone that has wronged you, you can live that. I know people that are so free. You could do something crazy to them and they would make up an excuse for you because they have decided that they will not be offended. Amen. And they ain't going to be offended. They're just, what do? They are slaves. Watch this. Are they slaves? They are slaves. Who are they slaves to? They are slaves to righteousness. And the Bible says, hey, guys, don't you know? See, it's one of the reasons that Tamara and I have said this from the beginning, from the day that we took over at Hope, we started to communicate this. Good choices, good life. Because we were tired of so many Christians looking and going, I don't understand what the problem is. You know what? God must not be here. I know what the problem is. You keep on making bad choices in your life. Am I saying that everything is going to go great in your life if you make good choices? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is If you make good choices, you are not going to be enslaved to sin anymore. And I'm telling you what, that is a good life. But I want you to see, look at verse 16. Look what it says at the beginning. Do you not know to whom you present yourself slave? You can present yourself to whoever you want. You get in the cart, you know, and after we're done, where are you going to go to eat? I don't know. It's up to you. You know, do you just sit there and go, oh, you know what? I'm going to slip on the gas and see where it goes. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, you're a Tommy's. You're like, man, how did I get here? You know, I don't even know. No, that's not how it works. You make choices in your life. And the Bible says, don't you know this thought about holiness and how you're going to get there? I'll tell you how you're going to get there. You're going to say, I'm tired of being a slave to my flesh. I'm tired of my eyes, you know what, having to look. Why are you looking? You're looking because you looked 38,000 times before. Come on, I'm teaching somebody something. Why are you so quick to get angry? You ever know people like this? It's like whoa, Jackson, that was no big deal. What happened? Here's what happened. They have opened up themselves to this anger where they just, everything ticks them off. I'm not saying that you didn't do anything wrong. I'm saying that in correlation, they are over the top. Do you know anybody like this? I didn't say you were sitting to somebody next to you like that. I said, do you know anybody like that? Why are they like that? Here's why they're like that. Because they have they've chosen to be angry. They've chosen to be so many times. And that's how it is. That's how it is in their life. Are you learning something? See, to whom you present yourself to righteousness, to holiness, to godliness, to unforgiveness, to generosity, or to wickedness, bitterness, anger, envy, strife, selfishness, sexual immorality. Are you learning something? See, you know what the Bible says? Actually, write this down. That's in Galatians chapter 5. And it talks about the lust of the deeds of the flesh, the Bible says, are evident. You know what that means? And you read them. It's like, duh. The stuff that is going to jack you up is obvious. That's another way to put it. Are you learning something? Have you found your places in Hebrew yet? Hebrews chapter 12. That is our text. We're hanging out in Romans too. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll finish up here. Look what it says. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. What's the sin? The sin is the deeds of the flesh. Let me read them to you. Galatians, write this down. Chapter 5, verses 19 through 12. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Say the works of the flesh are evident. Yeah, I'm sorry, 19 through 21, chapter 5. The works of the flesh are evident. They're evident, guys. Don't act like, man, what? Did I do something? I didn't do anything. No, you know you did something wrong. It's obvious. Okay, now what are they? Okay. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness. Oh, wait, let's stop a minute before we keep on going. Locate yourself in this list. Okay, now let's keep on going. Are you ready? No, really. Hey, I ask you, how many want to soar today? You're not going to soar. You know, we could have sat there and under that basket. It's like, honey, why aren't we going anywhere? That's the problem. We ain't going to go anywhere until they take those weights and they get rid of them. And as soon as they did, we soared. Amen. And you'll soar too. But look at this list. What do you think? You think you're here on accident? And yes, you responded to God as he was waking you up this morning. And there was a thought like that. You could have stayed home and not caught any of this. But you didn't. You know what you did? You became a slave to righteousness. No, I'm not going to forsake the gathering of the brethren.
That's right.
Even especially as the day approaches. I understand, man. Satan is out to whip my butt, and I'm not going to let him do it. Amen. I need to get to church, and I need to get my family to church, and I need to get my teenagers to church, and I need to get my 12-year-old to church. Amen. I mean, I don't want to go. Well, hallelujah, we are going. My dad, I remember my dad told me one time, he was preaching, and I heard, matter of fact, I played this clip at the funeral, and he said, you know what, we my kids love to go to church. Amen. Hallelujah. And thank God we have a church that we do everything to make it easy for your kids to love church. Can you say amen to this? But you know what? The flesh is the flesh. And sometimes, you know, my dad said, you know what? He said, my kids love to go to church. I hardly ever had to get them to go to church. They always wanted to go to church. See, he said, but you know what? But actually, sometimes I remember Drew, sometimes I have to get some water and help motivate him. So you're holy water. Yeah, there you go. You say, Pastor, you're saying your dad splashed water? Yeah, if that's what he had to do. He figured out what he did. We were going to church and you're in church. What is that? That's a direction towards righteousness. How many hear what I'm saying? Oh, find yourself. Here we go. Evident. They're evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions. What's contentions? Contentions. You ever know somebody who, no matter what you say, they're going to argue with you? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Contentions. Where am I? Contentions. Jealousies. Outbursts of wrath. Ooh, should we park there for a little while? No, Pastor, let's go on. Okay. Outbursts of wrath. I know that don't happen in your house. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, fits of anger. Yeah, it's just like, You just throw up on somebody. You know what? And you justify it because you're having a bad day. Listen, well, have a good day today. Amen. See, that's a lie. Hey, make a decision. You know what? Decide to have a good day. David said, you know what? Why am I so downcast? And then he recognized what the problem was. He said, you know what? I haven't put my trust in God. You know what? You put your trust in God, you're going to jump right through the clouds. Amen. How many know it's sunny every single day? Amen. If you get up over the clouds, you know, this is the day that God has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You can do whatever you want. You choose your attitude. And some of the reasons why there's such an outburst of wrath is because, you know, again, a lot of times because you've chosen that so many times, it is fully developed in your life. Amen. And you got to know today, God is saying to you, if that's you, God is saying to you, hey, that's ungodly. Watch this. What is that? It is what it says. It is. What is it? The works are evident. Somebody else come into your house, it'll be evident to them. They'll be like, what the heck? I thought that husband was a Christian. No, really, that's what they'll think, because it's evident that you ain't acting like Jesus. Is this making sense to somebody? Okay, ambitions, dissensions, heresies, murder, drunkenness, rival, and the like. And I tell you beforehand, just as I told you. All right, now this is going to mess up some of your theology. Are you ready? And I told you in the past that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We've got to make a decision. Don't point it off to tomorrow. Stop thinking you can't. Stop thinking that that's been with you for so long. It's just stop thinking that that's acceptable to God because of his blood. You know what that is? It's taking advantage of his grace. And don't do it. Because God has called you to righteousness, because God has called you to holiness, because God has called you to live a life that others can look at your behavior. Are you learning something today? Get rid of the sin. Now, what about the weight? What's the weight? What's the sin? But he says sin and weight. What are weights? Weights are, let me give you a couple of versions. Weights are, it says, and the weight with, and laying aside every weight and seeing which so easily ensnares us. One version says everything that slows you down. Another version says anything that gets in your way. Now, so what could that be? I heard somebody say this. It was so good. And I just heard this morning. They said, you know what? How many know there is a place for us to go higher? A higher level. What's the higher level? Higher level is we're going to get rid of the sin. Stealing and lying and bitterness and holding grudges and selfishness. No, those are all clear sins. You don't want lust and, you know, fornication, adultery, all those things. Those are clear sins, right? But somebody say there's a higher place for us. Because it doesn't say just lay aside the sin that so easily holds you down. It says lay aside the sin and the weights. What are the weights? Here's what the weights are. The weights can be something as simple as just watching too much TV. Playing too much video games. Oh, don't start. Don't. Pastor, you were good till you start talking about video games. Now you. Amen. Weights can be, oh, Pastor, now you're, weights can be eating something that you shouldn't eat. I asked you, do you want to go to a higher place? Listen, let me say this about weights. Don't make your weight somebody else's weight. You know what? If the Holy Spirit is telling you don't eat brownies, don't eat brownies. But don't allow your brownies to become my brownies. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching. Pastor, you just still want to eat brownies. No. I'm teaching you something. I still do want to eat brownies. But that's not the point. The point is, I'm teaching you something. This is not talking about, listen, we should all stop lying. We should all stop fornicating. We should all stop, you know what, stealing. We should all stop being not generous. That is everybody. That's clear sin. But there's some weights going on. And listen, those weights, it's not just the sin. You can get rid of the sin and you still won't soar. Listen to me. Why? Because there's still some weights that are going on. And so you should be sharp. But you're not sharp. But Pastor, I wouldn't want you know. I was watching I Love Lucy. There's nothing wrong with watching I Love Lucy. There might be something wrong with watching I Love Lucy till 1 o'clock in the morning. Are you eating brownies while you're doing it? Amen. Listen, this is so good. I learned that this week. You know what muse means? Muse means to think. You know what amuse means? What happens when you put a in front of the word? It turns it to the negative. We are so amused by this on TV, and we're so amused by that. And listen to me, and this is hard to preach, but this needs to be preached. We are living in a life and a time, and we think there's all kinds of entertainment, and it's just okay. And what it does is it's holding us down. And God wants us to soar. Amen. What does God speak? Here's what the Bible says. To him who knows what's right to do, it's sin. For some of you, you need to get out. You need to start walking a little bit.
That's right.
Amen. 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 See, one person needs to walk a little bit. Another person needs to spend more time in the Word and not exercise so much. Pastor, are you, I feel like I'm Jesus with the 12 apostles. You know what? Lord, is it me? Listen, that's not up for me to tell who it is. I'm trying to figure out my weights. You figure out your own weights. And when you figure out your weights, don't throw that on Tony. And don't throw that on me. That's your weights. Let Tony and me figure out our weights. Does this make sense to somebody? There was in the early 60s, you know, how many know they had some cool cars in the early 60s? I mean, they would have these kind of just cool looking cars, cool designs. And in the 60s, you know what, there was a car company and they had this car and it had these two big wings on the back. Well, the Pittsburgh Police Department bought a bunch of these cars, and they painted them black and white, put the stuff on them, and these were awesome cars. Watch this, in the city. But when they would start to go after someone and they would start to go out in the highway, these cars would start to go, and because of these big wings on the back, as soon as they reached 85, the top end would start to go up. They'd lose traction, and all the other guy had to do was just outrun them because he could outrun them. They couldn't get it past 85. They'd lose control, and they'd have to slow down. They'd slow down. That back would come down, and then they'd be able to take off. But by that time, the guy's going 95. He's far from them. What was that? That was something that was an encumbersome. Guess what they did? They got rid of all the cars. What is God asking you to get rid of? Certainly, is there sin in your life? Get rid of it and walk in holiness. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to show you another scripture, and then I'm going to tell you two more stories, and we're going to be done. Okay? You ready for this? You're already in Hebrews, but look what it says. Look. Let's see. Where do I want to go? Let's go to 18 or verse 8. But if you are without chastening, you have become partakers when you are, then you are illegitimate and not sons. When God corrects you, it's because he loves you. It's because you're in his family. Hallelujah. Amen. Is that, my mom used to give me spankings. Amen. And I never know why, because I was a perfect child. Come on, Tyler, say amen to this. So I never know why, because I was a perfect child, but she used to tell me before she spanked me, she'd say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. I would think, oh my goodness, if this hurts you more than me, then let me spank you and I'll hurt. I mean, no, I never said that. That would not have been good logic to tell my mom at that point in time. But understand, God corrects because he loves you. That's what the Bible says. Verse 9, furthermore, we have had human fathers who correct us, and we paid them respect. I thank my mom and my dad for disciplining me, because it helped. Shall we not much more readily be subject to the Father of spirits and life? For they indeed, for a few days, chastened us as seemed best to them. Here's what I want to catch. Watch this. Two things. Look at the next words. But he, that's God, for our profit. God's pointing out a sin to you today where you need to stop it. It's not because he doesn't love you. It's because he wants you to soar for your profit. God is pointing out something that isn't even a sin. It's a weight. But he's pointing out to you and saying, you stop it. And you want to go, well, that's not that bad. Whoa, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Stop it. Why? Because he doesn't like you? No, because he wants you to soar. Watch this. Verse 11. Now, no chastening seems joyful for the present. Yay! God's correcting us today. Hallelujah! Well, watch this. But painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained. If you will be trained by it, you will soar. Therefore, strengthen your hands which hang down and your feeble knees, and make straight the path for your feet, so that you do it. You lay it down. God can't lay down your sin for you. He can die for your sin, and he has died for your sin, but you got to lay that down. Amen. Verse 13, and make straight paths of your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. God wants to heal some people today. Watch this. Pursue peace. Here it is again. Pursue peace with all people and what? And what? Guys, pursue it. That's up to us. It's in every single page in the New Testament. Watch this. Without which no one will see. Is that in your Bible? See, how come we never read these passages? How come nobody's ever preached these passages to us? God, I repent, and help me to preach a balance to the body of Christ. Watch this. You think he's done? He's not done. Watch this. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, we bore as many of the stars of the sky in multitude, immeasurable. Yeah, thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. The wind blew my page. I'm like, I know it's right there. I know it's, you ever do this in your Bible? You know where it is? It's like, I know it's on this side of on the very bottom. I know, okay, so sorry. Yeah, that was wrong. Okay. Pursue peace. And with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see God. Watch this. Looking carefully. See, that's what God is telling us. Guys, stop being so casual with your Christianity. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Pastor, you're saying I can fall short of the grace of God? No, I'm not saying that. The writer of Hebrews is warning all of us that today. And he's not warning you that because it's not possible. He's warning us all that because it is possible. There's two more stories. Story of the monkey, and the clever one who wants to catch the monkey figures out this is monkey, will put his hand into this jar to grab the peanut. Of course, the jar is chained, so the jar can't get away. The monkey comes, puts his hand in the jar, grabs the peanut. But the jar is designed in a way where the monkey can put his hand in, but once he grabs the peanut, he makes a fist and he can't get his hand out. The monkey sees the person coming to capture him and to change his life in a negative way forever. But he won't let go of the peanut. Here's my question to you today. Will you let go of the peanut? Because there's weights and sins, and they hold you down. And God has delivered you completely, but he can't get you to do what you won't want to do by yourself. Now, let me tell you what. This preaching separates the people who are going to soar from the people who are just going to live mediocre lives in their Christianity. Can I tell you one more story? This is a true story. There was a very, very wealthy man. And this man was so wealthy that he would buy these very beautiful paintings made by very famous painters. Picasso and Rembrandt. And these paintings cost a lot of money, but they continue to go up as he would collect them, and they would continue to go up. Well, this man passed away. And when he passed away, they were going to have an auction. And in that auction, he advertised it, and art collectors came from all over the country to bid on these Rembrandts and these Picassos. But as they started the auction, they had a painting, and this painting was a simple painting of just some mountains and a creek in the mountains, and it wasn't by Rembrandt or Picasso or anybody who knew any. It was just an amateur painting. And all these art collectors, they knew the paintings. They knew this was done by some just amateur. It was ridiculous to have it up there, but they had it up there. And he said, "We're starting with this painting." And they were annoyed, and they got upset, and they said, What are you doing?" But the auctioneer continued and said, "Would anybody give me $50 for this painting? Just $50 for this painting?" And they started to get upset, and they said, "No, we want $50. That's not worth $20. Get it rid of. Where's the real good stuff?" There was the gardener who had been the family gardener for years, and he was in the very back. And the auctioneer wouldn't stop. He said, "No, will someone give me $50 for this painting?" And in the back, the gardener raised his hand, and he said, "I'll give you $50 for that painting." And the auctioneer stopped, and he said, "I want to make sure. Are you sure?" And they said, "Yeah, just give it to him for $50. Just give it to him. We can get on with the good stuff." And he said, "Are you sure? I want to make sure everybody understands. I'm going to sell this painting for $50 to the gardener in the back." They said, "Yes, we're sure." And he said, "Going once." And they mocked him and said, "Just give it to him." And he said, "Going twice." And they mocked him. And they said, "Come on." And he said, "Sold to that man in the back." That man came up and he gave him $50. And he started to take away his painting. And as he started to walk away, he said, "The auction is now over." And as he said, "The auction is over," everybody started to look and say, "Auction is over. It didn't even start. What about all these beautiful pieces of paintings that we've come to bid on?" And he said, "No, no, no. You don't understand. You all had the opportunity. But in the will of the man who died, this painting was painted by his son. And he made a decision that whoever valued what his son made was going to get all the other paintings." And the auctioneer said, "I kept on asking you. Even before I started, I said, 'Are you sure? Are you sure?' You all yelled at me. I said, 'Going once,' and nobody would give a penny over $50. You all said, 'Just give it to him.' The auction is now over. And all the paintings go to the son, or to this gardener." So, Pastor, what is your point? Here's my point. You know, will we value what God values? Because let me tell you what God values. God values his people being obedient to what he asks them to do. You know what? He wants you to be holy. Will we be willing to let go of the peanut and live the free life that God has called us to live? Will we walk away soaring with everything that God wants us to have? Or will we walk away because we didn't value what he valued? We valued our sin. We valued entertainment. We valued things that God is saying they're not valuable. And because of that, we lost everything. Can I tell you how Jesus says it? He says it like this. If you give your life, you're going to find it. But if you take your life, you're going to lose everything. don't know about you, but this message is for me today. Because I don't want to just live a mediocre Christian life. I want to soar in the things of God. And I don't want to wait. I don't want to let any sin and any weight keep me from what God has called me to do. I believe that this is not only a message for me, but I believe this is a message for every single one of us who are here to listen on this message today. Now, if you haven't accepted Jesus, today is your day. Can you repeat this? Maybe you're watching me through the internet. Can you say this with me? Jesus, come in my heart today. Change me from the inside out. I do not want to run my life anymore. I want to make you my Lord and you my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, if this message spoke to you in some way, I want you to raise your hands. If there's a weight, if there's a sin, if there's something that is keeping you from fulfilling what God says to you today, keep your hands up. God is saying to you today, I want you to soar today. I have incredible things, and I believe in you. I believe that you are the one that will let go to live the abundance that I have for you. Father, you see our hands up all over. And we speak, Father, that we would follow through, that today would be the first day of the rest of our life. Father, continue to speak to us today and allow us to be changed. Allow us to have a desire, a strong desire, to lay down these things. Somebody say, I'm going to lay it down today. Somebody say, I'm tired of holding on to things that have held me back. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Tamara, we love you. We missed you. So good to have you. How many like being outside? How many invited someone today? I'm not saying they came. Maybe they came, maybe they didn't. How many invited someone? Oh, that's why I hear God saying. If you're here for the first time, we want to welcome you. Tamara and I, we want to be your pastors. We ask you, make this your home. Allow me to mentor you. Give us a year. Come Sunday. Come every Sunday. Come Wednesday through the internet. Watch what will happen in your life. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Change your life forever. Amen. Tamara, anything I need to share with anybody? Anything? Yeah? I want to share something.
Hallelujah. He feels very awkward. He doesn't know what to do with me right now. So he's like, should I give it to her? Should I not give it to her? Does she want to talk? Should she not talk? So first, let me say thank you to all of you. I know you do. I'm not okay. My heart is broken. I'm trying to be okay. I'm trying to be okay. Thank you all for your love towards me, my family, my mom. I appreciate it. I'm sure you're all wondering what happened. I'm not able to talk about it. I'll tell you what it wasn't. It wasn't her platelets. They were higher than they had ever been. Says that God heals the brokenhearted, so I'm quite sure I will be fine one day. But the word also says that there's a time to grieve. And that's where I sit right now. I'm in a wheelchair because I figured as long as I'm laying around doing nothing but grieving, because you don't feel like doing anything, I might as well take care of my feet, which I screwed up royally when I crowded the offices. So I thought, well, I'll make good use of the time. And so I talked a doctor into doing both of my feet at the same time. She thought I was crazy, but I don't think so. I think I might as well get through it all at the same time. Yeah, crazy smart, right? So I'm grateful for who you are. Thank you all so much. And it's probably not good. Do me a favor. Don't ask me about my mom. I can't hang. I really can't. One day. Thank you. I love you.
We have felt the love of a family. You know what? It's just so much. And you know what? We, for almost 3 weeks, probably 3 weeks, we had people just bringing dinners by, and they were good dinners too. But I'm not saying that, but I am saying thank you. Just really, we feel the support and we feel the love. Tamara and I really, really, really do love you guys. You know what? I just look and, you know what? I mean, every single one of you, we just love you guys. Let's raise up our hands. Father, we thank you for the outdoor project. We thank you that your timing is impeccable. And Father, we thank you that we had faith to move out and do what you ask us to do. We thank you, Father, for this word. May we receive it with gladness. And when I say receive that, may we make changes, practical changes in our life. Father, we love you. Now I call you blessed. I call all of you healed. I call all of you up. We're going to go up where Jesus is. Set our minds. We set our minds on the things that are above, not the things that are on this earth. We thank you, Father. We cast all our care upon you, for you care for us. And I thank you for the dreams that we have, that our days in front of us are better than our days behind us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.